time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with Dana Rodriguez, author Jerry Nachman, and teacher Pauline Teichman. Here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend. It's beautiful weather out there. Even Jerry might agree with that. And Minds Over Matter will endeavor to bring you an hour of entertaining information. So please settle back, and hopefully you will give us a call as well, because we would like you to join us. That number is area code 415-841-4134. That is 415-841-4134. Or you can call toll-free. Actually, we do have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. We'll be bringing you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and Broadway. I actually have a couple of Broadway questions tonight. Because we're all working hard to tie in our show to the release of Jerry's book in a few months. So, you know, anything, everything helps.
Everyone's on the edge of their chair, I'm sure.
I know. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together. That is at yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. I do enjoy reading your email messages. But they always get read, but they don't get read during the show because it's too complicated. I'm not a multitasker. I can only do one thing at a time. So that's mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. And if you'd like to hear the show online, you can do that anywhere in the world with the simple use of a computer, iPad, smartphone, at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, and I'm sure there are people out there who do, that would also be at kalw.org, a little while after our show tonight when David puts it up. So, okay. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here's the first intro. Jerry Nachman, the aforementioned, notes that while Cleveland survived the Warriors, it may be undone by the Republicans. You may well be right.
I hope so. Pauline Teichman is waiting with bated breath to see who gets picked for the Caroli's last gymnastic team.
Okay. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, notes the KALW is 75 this year and that Minds Over Matter is 23. Who says these May-December relationships don't work?
That's right. And we will begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Okay, I'm still on my San Francisco kick.
That's good. Well, that pleases people, I know.
Yeah, well, okay.
Pride.
What was San Francisco's first department store?
Like Gump's?
Good guess, but no.
So the store is no longer around, I'm going to assume.
No.
Okay. Did it last a long time? In other words, is it a name we might recognize?
It opened in 1850.
But is it a name we recognize today?
Yeah.
Was it at some point a chain that was in other parts of the country?
No.
Okay.
Well,
I'll give you one guess each.
Yeah, right.
Because there are only so many.
It's no longer around. Okay. Well, yeah. But it's a name we would recognize. I don't know. City of Paris?
Yes.
Ah.
Oh.
Very good.
I have very vivid memories of my grandmother taking me there when I was
Everybody's
a little
boy. Grandmother took them there.
At Christmas time to see that huge tree that they had in the lobby.
I've never even heard of it.
The City of Paris?
Yeah, so it must be a long time that it hasn't been there.
Well, the parts of the building are still there. It's now the
It's now
what is
it's now
I always forget.
Neiman Marcus.
Neiman Marcus,
okay.
That's right. So they sort of kept the rotunda area a little bit like it was.
Yeah, right.
Before.
They have the restaurant in the
right,
in
right,
the rotunda.
Right, right.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, it was
did.
A very, very elegant store.
Nice. Yeah,
yeah. Right on Union Square. All right, give us another question, Jerry.
Okay, how did Knob Hill get its name?
So something about its appearance, I would imagine. Physical?
No.
No.
I think it's a play on the nabob. It's because of the more powerful rich people in San Francisco,
that's
real
exactly.
houses up there.
There that's go. Exactly correct.
All right.
Okay, one more quick one.
Okay.
What famous San Francisco figure was named Mabel Janice Busby?
Oh, that's familiar. That's definitely
She's
familiar.
She's not known for that name. That was her birth name.
Right.
But I must have seen it somewhere because I've definitely seen that name. Born. Can you give us a time period?
Within our lifetime.
Okay.
You mean she was born within our lifetime?
No, she lived within our lifetime.
Okay, all right. Well, why don't you read that question once more?
Okay, what famous San Francisco figure was named Mabel Janice Busby, but known by another name?
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. If you'd like to join us here, we have a couple of lines open right now. Please feel free to give us a call. Area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. Pauline, why don't you go ahead, too?
Okay. This actor... thought he was making his film debut in The Purple Rose of Cairo, but when he took his family to the movie theater to see it, he found that all of his scenes had been cut. Name the actor.
Has he been in other Woody Allen movies before or since?
Woody Allen? I don't think so. He's been in lots of other movies, but I don't think Woody Allen.
Oh, this is a star? I mean, it's a lead actor?
Yeah.
So what year is it? That's like, I want to say 80s, mid-80s or something. I mean, it's hard to... I don't remember exactly.
About that, yeah. Lady, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm just sort of figuring. I'm trying to figure it out.
Is he a comic actor or a straight actor? More of a straight actor.
More of a straight actor.
Ah.
George Clooney.
No.
That's not bad. I'm not going to think about that. Okay. Read it once more, would you?
Okay. This actor's film debut was supposed to be in The Purple Rose of Cairo, but when he took his family to the movie theater to see it, he found that all of his scenes had been cut. Name this actor.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
You're from Hayward.
Hi, go ahead.
I have a slight correction to make. You know where that caller of yours was talking about the Andy Griffith's two girlfriends?
Yes, no. And I finally figured out Eleanor Donahue was the one
oh,
I was trying
yes.
to figure out.
Yeah, but the other was Anita Corson. He said that she was still alive, or wrong. Anita Corson died in 1995.
But Eleanor Donahue is still alive.
But I think so was the one who played Barney's girlfriend is too.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Eleanor Donahue played the daughter princess on
right,
Father Knows
Father
Best.
Knows Best.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, she played a farmer's daughter named Ellie Walker. She was only on the series for one its first season.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know the thing about the Hollywood Walk of Fame that film composer Jerry Goldsmith was finally going to get his star.
Who?
One of his. What?
Jerry Goldsmith. He's the film composer.
Jerry Goldsmith, yeah.
Start the question again. I didn't quite get the very beginning.
He's going to finally get a star on a Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Jerry Goldsmith. Okay, yes.
Yeah, one of his things that he, television themes that he composed, got lyrics that was sung by the series star. Do you know what it was?
So Jerry Goldsmith composed a television theme that was sung by the series star.
Yeah, it had lyrics later added, though, but not heard in the series, but was heard on a record.
So what decade would this have been?
60s. I'll give you a clue. It was a medical series.
Oh.
Medical
series, 60s.
I don't remember Richard Boone ever singing that.
Oh, Medic? No. Is
like
that
Medic.
What you're thinking of?
Like Marcus Medic, Shelby yeah. or something?
What?
Marcus Shelby?
Marcus Welby.
Welby. Oh, no, I knew it was something.
No, earlier than that.
How about...
Marcus Shelby says, yeah.
How about either Dr. Kildare or Ben Casey? Because Richard
Kildare.
Chamberlain sang. I know he did that. He sang
Dr. Kildare. Americans. Three stars was signed tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw Richard Chamberlain in a production of My Fair Lady.
Oh, yeah, right.
But he can sing.
Here's my second question.
Yes.
What comedian was the only one to have worked with both the Three Stooges and the Marx Brothers?
What comedian was the only one to work
with female. Three Stooges and the Marx Brothers?
Oh, comedian.
Well, how about Martha Ray?
No, she never worked with the Marx Brothers. Comedian. Comedian. Joan Davis?
No. Wait. Give you a clue. She became a force on TV.
Lucille Ball?
Oh, yeah.
She did.
Oh, that's
work.
Right. She did that. Yeah,
she
that's
did.
Right.
She appeared in the Three Stooges short, Three Little Pigskins. Of course, she later would do Room Service.
Room Service. Very good. Good question.
Yeah. Well, Bell.
All right. Yeah. Good job. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, she was in a Three Stooges movie?
She was. Or very early in her career, she was in a short, one of the Three Stooges shorts. Okay. A couple questions. Here's a Broadway question for you.
Okay.
But you have to get all three parts of it to get credit for it. All right. Who were the first three people to have the lights dim for them on their death on Broadway?
First three?
The first three people to have the lights dimmed in Broadway theaters on the occasion of their death. And it's actually started later than I
would have
thought.
Yeah, I was going to ask when that began.
This is, so it's after 40s, World War 30s? II. It's okay. After World War
yeah,
II.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So they're all very famous people. So who were the – obviously very famous theater people. So who were the first three people to have the theater lights dim for them on Broadway on the occasion of their death?
I can think of two possibles, Jerome Kern and Irving Berlin.
Neither one.
Oh, Berlin lived long, much.
Right.
Neither one.
No, so they have to remember this is after World War II. Just keep that in mind. You want to guess, Pauline?
I'm thinking about it.
Okay. So I'll give you a hint a little bit later on. I'll give you another hint.
So not necessarily actors. It could be like...
No, not necessarily actors. Mm-hmm. No. But they're very well-known theater people.
Right.
So who were the first three people to have the theater lights dim on the occasion of their death on Broadway?
How about Moss Hart?
That's a very good guess.
Good guess.
Very good guess, but no, not Moss Hart.
Are they all very well known?
Very well known.
Is one a producer?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Second question. Mark Kellogg is a name that we don't know today, but Mark Kellogg was the first Associated Press reporter to die in the line of duty. Now, he died in a very famous incident. What was it? Mark Kellogg is a name that's not well known today, but he was the first Associated Press reporter to die in the line of duty. Okay. He died in a very famous historical incident. What was it?
Is this another Broadway question? No.
It's nothing to do with Broadway. No. And this happened in the 19th century, so you know.
He died in a very odd way.
No, it wasn't an odd way, but it was in a very famous historical incident. So once more, Mark Kellogg is a name that nobody knows today, but he was the first reporter for the Associated Press to die in the line of duty. What was the very famous historical incident he died in? It's 19th century.
Could be so many, Dana.
It's
many historical incidents.
I said 19th century, and
it's
American.
That narrows it down nicely to 100 years.
Yeah, it's American. And you figure Associated Press, it's after the Civil War. So keep that in mind. Okay, so once more, who were the first three people to have the lights dim for them in Broadway theaters on the occasion of their death? And this is after World War II. They started that. And all very famous people in the theater. And Mark Kellogg was the first Associated Press reporter to die in the line of duty. So in the 19th century, what very famous historical incident did he die in? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I wanted to answer a couple. This is Laurie in the Richmond.
Hi.
So with Kellogg, is it the Battle of Little Bighorn?
It is the Battle of Little Bighorn, yes. He was with Custer, Custer's Last Stand. All right.
Yay! Okay.
Right.
And then...
Jerry's saying, so what? So.
For the Broadway lights, what about Helen Hayes?
Not Helen Hayes.
Okay, Lunt and Fontaine?
Good
guess.
You're half right.
Let's go with Lunt.
They're very good. Alfred Lunt
is one of them. My husband, his daddy was Saul Herrick's company manager. Okay. And then I'm going to ask, I know, the other one, Mabel, is that Alma Spreckles?
No, good guess, but no, that's not right.
Thank you. I feel good about that. Okay, so then I'm going to ask you. So my husband has been to every possible show. In fact, he was at Moose Murders.
He's the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, amazing.
Okay. Moose Murders, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so anyway.
Eve Arden was in that.
There's a show that was in 1985. It was off-Broadway. I'm going to give you the name of the show. And I want you to try to tell me what the show was about, what the subject matter was, and also what the main song is. And the name of the show is Three Guys Naked from the Waist Down.
I remember that title. And what do you want to know?
I want to know what the key song is.
So it was a famous song.
Well, it's not famous, but if you want to hear my husband sing it, call later. And so it's Three Guys Naked from the Waist Down, and I want to know the name of the key song and also what the subject matter is of the...
I do remember that title. And,
And Scott Bakula was in it. I don't know if that helps you.
Mm. Not me, but maybe...
Well, I know who he is, yeah. But,
yeah.
It's better than nothing.
Right.
All right, do you want me to tell you or leave it out?
Leave it out.
All right, so I'll talk to your person.
Okay, I'll put
my
you on
hold. My
person
will talk to your person.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Oh, that was quick. Okay. here are four one-time headline San Francisco names. Why were they famous? Gail Spiegelman. Jack Fertig, F-E-R-T-I-G, Yvonne Danger, and August Owsley Stanley III. Four one-time San Francisco headline names. Who were they? Gail Spiegelman, Jack Fertig, Yvonne Danger, August Owsley Stanley III.
Well, Jack Fertig, I know.
Yeah, I needed to know that one.
Something to do with, was he in, something to do with porn?
No,
it's something to do, he's gay.
That's true.
Gay life.
Yeah.
No
porn.
Is that, was he like Jello Biafra? Was that him? No.
No, that's another guy.
That's another guy.
Who ran for mayor.
Yeah. But it's somebody kind of like that. I mean, sort of
a character, eccentric,
yeah, exactly.
Eccentric guy.
Jack Fertig.
I thought you had knocked that one right off.
Yeah, I had to think about that.
Okay, Gail Spiegelman, Jack Fertig, Yvonne Danger, August Owsley Stanley III. These were all people that I remember were sort of well known in like
60s,
the
70s, 80s. 70s,
80s, yeah.
Jack Fertig.
Yvonne Danger.
Right.
Two of them. Three of them were sort of slightly scandalous.
All right, let me think about that.
Yvonne Danger sounds like a stripper name or something.
Who?
Yvonne Danger, Danger. Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Let's see, I've got some guesses. This Mabel Janet Busby, is that Carol Doda?
No?
Oh.
Very good guess, but no.
That'd be great if that was your real name.
Yeah. And then I was going to guess Emperor Norton for the Stanley III, but...
No.
That's much, much too early from what you've said.
Right.
The scenes from Purple Rose of Cairo. How about Christopher Walken?
No, though. That's a good guess, but no.
That's a good guess.
Shoot. And then The Lights Dimmed. I've got a number of these are total guesses, but I'll throw them out there. Oscar Hammerstein?
Yes, that's one of them, 1960.
I was going to say that, but I thought he was one of the first three?
One of the first three, yeah.
See, I thought he was later, because I know.
Yeah.
Very good.
So it's but William Inge?
No.
Oh.
Lillian Hellman?
No.
Eugene O'Neill?
No.
Olivia Dieden Pippin?
No.
Can't remember her name. All right. Well, that's all the guesses I've got.
All right.
I know the Academy Awards are coming up in about 8 months, so I've got some options.
Yeah, just only 8 months to go.
Yeah, counting down. Who's the only Oscar winner to be portrayed in a best movie?
Say
that again, please.
Who's the only Academy Award winner to be portrayed in a best in the Best Picture.
In the Best Picture winner, yeah.
What decade was it?
It was since 2000.
And it actually won. It wasn't just nominated for Best Picture. It won Best Picture.
It won Best Picture.
Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah.
Who played her? Kate Blanchett?
Yeah,
no.
The Aviator.
The Aviator, but yeah. Nominated, didn't win.
Okay. You said since 2000. It wasn't after that. Oh, boy. Oscar winner. It's one of those things I should know, but I go in kind of a black hole after the last 15 years or so. Was this
Best Picture also had, was one of the shortest named Best Pictures, too.
Oh. Not Crash. It wasn't Crash, was it?
No, it wasn't Crash.
Not the Artist?
No.
Z.
Yeah,
that would be short.
That's pretty short.
And he won for Best Makeup.
Oh.
The character.
Okay.
I don't know.
He won for Best.
And he was portrayed in
Jack Pierce. No.
No. It's a kind of an obscure name, so if you name the movie, that should be good enough.
William Tuttle?
No. And the actor was in The Artist, but that wasn't him. The actor who played him was in The Artist, but not.
Was it John Goodman?
It was, yeah.
In Argo? Right. He played a makeup guy. Right.
John,
or a special effects.
Chambers.
Right. Okay. All right, good.
And I've got one other question. What are the what six Best Picture winners were all derived from Pulitzer Prize winning sources?
That's a big
question. That's a great question, though.
Six?
All the Kingsmen. You Can't Take It With You.
Yep.
Gone with the Wind.
Yep. That's three.
Let's see. Gone with the Wind. Can you give us a decade for the other ones? It makes the other
one. One was the 50s. One was very recent. And one was, I believe, the 90s, maybe the 80s.
Color Purple?
Oh, that's...
No?
That's right.
Good guess.
Did you say all the Kingsmen, Dan?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. 50s... 50s. Jeez. I have to go through all this in my head, and it's
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Yeah, that's not. No, it wasn't Best Picture.
Yeah, no, nope. Right. Well, the most recent one was very recent. It's the most recent possible.
What won?
Last year.
Yeah, Best Picture. Isn't that awful? It goes right out.
I know.
Forgotten.
There's all this excitement, and then a year later.
The Spotlight.
Spotlight, yeah.
Right, that's right. They won the Pulitzer Prize for the reporting on the original thing. That's good.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a good one.
And then On the Waterfront.
From the 50s, yeah.
From the 50s. Was that the 50s?
Yes, that's 54. Right. Okay.
Yeah, and then the last one was Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh,
the play. Okay, good job.
Yeah.
Good question.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Great show.
Oh, thanks. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman.
Thank you.
And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. I just want to take the opportunity to remind you that 75 years, an important anniversary here at KALW. The 75th anniversary concert, KLW's 75th anniversary concert, is coming up on Thursday, August 4th, day before my birthday, at 8 p.m. at the Norse Theater in San Francisco, and it will feature performances by the Kronos Quartet and Bruce Coburn. So tickets and information are at kalw.org, so feel free to look that up. It'll be a very entertaining evening, I'm sure. So the 75th anniversary concert, Thursday, August 4th at 8 p.m. at the Norse Theater. Just to remind you also that you're listening to us on 91.7 FM, KALW, your local public radio station. Feel free to join us. The number is area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Pauline, I think it is your turn.
Yes. So I'm going to give you four names and I'm going to ask you what they have in common. So the four names are Albie Grant, Gavin Belson, Glenn Oderkirk, and Eddie Scott. One more time. Albie Grant, Gavin Belson, Glenn Oderkirk, and Eddie Scott.
Are they athletes?
No.
Is anything to do with World War II?
No, not at all.
None of those names are familiar to me.
Don't know the names.
But no. They all did something together, or they all did something, the same thing, separately, or can
no.
you tell us that?
So they're not linked?
The four names are linked to something.
Historical event?
No.
Okay.
Two of those names should be quite familiar. Two of them less so, but two of them should be quite familiar to most people.
No, they're not quite familiar.
They're not.
Anybody.
Not even remotely familiar.
I'm sure there's somebody out there who they're familiar with.
All right.
Well, of course.
You read them somebody. Read them once more, if you would.
Okay. Albie Grant, Gavin Belson, Glenn Oderkirk, and Eddie Scott.
Okay.
But the first two should be definitely.
Is this a political event?
No.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and do my question, then we'll take a call. So there's another Broadway question for you, Jerry.
Okay.
Yes, you can feign interest here. And, okay, so when you look at the list of the longest-running Broadway shows, mm-hmm. and that means straight plays and musicals, just all together the longest-running Broadway shows, what I want you to tell me is in that list of the longest-running Broadway shows, the film versions of which, who won Best Actor in a film version of a Broadway of the longest running Broadway show? In other words, when I say who won okay. Best Actor, who won Best Actor for being in a film version of the longest running Broadway show? Okay, you
say
got
that
it?
One more time.
So there's only one Broadway show, or there's
no. In other words,
okay.
who is highest up on the list for winning Best Actor for a film version of the longest-running Broadway show? Do you understand what I'm saying at all?
Yeah, but it's too complicated.
I think I do, but
it's
not. I have no idea if he won. I'm like thinking Joel Grey and Cabaret.
Let me go through the whole list, and then I'm not quite
like
done.
That?
So what I want is Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, and Best Supporting Actress. Mm-hmm. So, again, who won Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, and Best Supporting Actress for film versions of the longest-running Broadway shows?
Okay, so I will ask again, did Joel Grey win for Cabaret?
He did win for Cabaret, and that's one of them.
Okay.
So Cabaret was the longest-running Broadway show where somebody won Best Supporting Actor for the film version.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Rex Harrison.
Rex Harrison is another one. Very
Neil
good.
Neil Brenner.
No. So I only need one man, one woman, one man, one woman.
For each category.
So now we
right.
need women.
Right. So Rex Harrison won for the Best Actor for the film version of the longest running Broadway show, My Fair Lady. Mm-hmm. Joel Grey won for longest running.
So now you want
film
supporting
version,
so we
Cabaret.
Need
so we need Best Actress okay. and Best Supporting Actress.
Okay. So something that was on a lot.
So but it has to be up there for the longest running Broadway show to have a film version win that award for somebody.
How about...
Now you get the question.
Well, yeah, sort of.
Right.
Hard to get your head around it. How about Anne Bancroft in...
Very good guess, but no. No. A longer, much longer running show than that.
So... Could there be, like, somebody else from Cabaret, like a woman from Cabaret?
No,
I'm thinking,
nobody
Zeta Jones.
Won
well, I'm thinking of a later version, like Catherine Zeta-Jones. Wasn't she in that?
No. Maybe she did at some point, but no.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so we're looking for Best Actor and Best Supporting Actress.
No, Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress.
Best Actress.
So, from film versions of the longest-running Broadway shows. In other words, who won those awards for a Broadway show that ran the longest?
Are they
very well known names?
Yeah, are they plays or musicals? Can you tell us?
They are, yes. They're both.
They're both.
Yeah.
So you just want two names.
Okay. Two names.
Two shows.
Right.
Could Jennifer Hudson for...
That's a good guess, but no.
Because that was on a long time.
All right. I'm gonna,
Jennifer Hudson.
I'm going to give this one of the question because we're about halfway through and I want people to be able to guess at it. So I have a list of six very famous paintings.
Oh.
And I want you to tell me the museum where they are located.
Oh, man.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean? These are extremely famous paintings.
I know, but...
And I'm sure we have many in our audience have seen these paintings in the museum where they are located. So again, these are six very famous paintings. Tell me in what museum they are located. So, number one, Gustav Klimt. The painting is Judith. Number two, Rembrandt. Is Balthasar's Feast. Belshazzar's Feast. I always say Bal, but I think it's B-E-L.
Balthasar.
Belshazzar, yes. Anyway, Rembrandt. Number three, Sargent, one of my favorite painters, John Singer Sargent, Madame X.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yes, you have, probably. Next is Munch, The Scream. Number five is the very famous Portrait of Paul Revere by Copley. And six is Goya, the 3rd of May, 1808. So these are very famous paintings located different places around the world. I want you to tell me what museum they are actually in. Number one, Gustav Klimt, Judith. Number two, Rembrandt, Belshazzar's Feast. I'll get that right. Number three, Singer Sargent, Madame X. Number four, Munch, The Scream. Number five, Portrait of Paul Revere by Copley. Number six, Goya is the 3rd of May, 1808. Okay.
So is Goya the Prado?
It is. That is in the Prado in Madrid.
Okay. And
Madame X is the Whitney?
Not the Whitney.
Modern.
Not the...
Imama.
No, it is not the modern either.
Okay.
Is Rembrandt the Rush Museum?
It is not.
Oh, okay.
All right. So you had your couple of guesses. And
I had one.
let's go to a call.
The other one I knew wasn't a guess.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Paul from the Richmond.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Mabel Busby was Sally Stanford.
Very good.
There you go.
That's it.
And Mama Gay Spiegelman was the topless mother of eight.
Very good.
Oh.
And Jack Furtig was Sister Boom Boom.
That's yes, it. All right.
And he ran for the Board of Supervisors as a none of above.
Okay.
Right.
And Yvonne Danger was the Persian lamb chop.
The Persian lamb chop.
Persian lamb. She was
Persian
a stripper.
Lamb. There she gave herself to the
very good.
Golden Gate Bridge one time.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah, you really know your SF history.
Yeah, and the last guy, Stanley, was the LSD maven.
That's it.
Very good. Excellent.
Okay.
Big bell for this guy.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And since we are a little past halfway through the show, let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
They just got answered.
Okay, well, that's good. Make it shorter.
Okay, so I've got two. So this actor's film debut was supposed to be in The Purple Rose of Cairo, but when he went to the movie, he found that all of the scenes had been cut. Name them. And then I'm going to give you another hint for the other question to make it easier. So what do these four names have in common? So the names are Albie Grant, Gavin Belson, Glenn Oderkirk, and Eddie Scott. They're all roles that one person has had.
These are the names of the characters.
Yes.
Could you read those once more?
Yes. Albie Grant, Gavin Belson, Glenn Oderkirk, and Eddie Scott.
Albie.
Yeah, Albie Grant is probably, and Gavin Belson are the two really well-known ones.
I've heard of Albie Grant, but I...
That's not Woody. No, it's not Woody Allen.
No, that's Albie Singer.
Yeah.
No.
Albie could you give us a hint on the actor that got whose scenes were cut? Because that's a huge, a category. Narrow it down somehow.
I'll narrow it down and tell you that the first film, so you're going to get it right away. The first film he did actually appear in was The Witness.
Is it what?
Oh, Witness.
It was Witness.
Witness, not that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still don't know, but I'll think about it. I had a list of the first three people to have the lights dim for them in Broadway theaters. Mm-hmm. on the occasion of their death. Now, we have two of the answers correct. So we have Oscar Hammerstein II, and that's in 1960, and Alfred Lunt, that's in 1977, or that was in 1977. But we're still missing the number, the first person on the list to have the lights dim for them, and that was in the 1950s. So there's a slight hint for you. So it was in the 1950s. And this is my very convoluted question. In the list of the longest-running Broadway shows, name the winners in the film versions of these shows highest up on that list. In other words, Rex Harrison. I'll give you the ones that we have so far to give you an idea. Rex Harrison won Best Actor for the film version of the longest-running Broadway show. In other words, he's furthest up that list for My Fair Lady. Joel Grey won for the film version of Cabaret. He's furthest up that list as well. So we're still looking for Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress.
Mm-hmm. How about the first person the lights were dim for? Gertrude Lawrence?
That's correct.
Yeah. Oh,
Gertrude Lawrence, 1952. Very good. Okay. All right, you got them all. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I see. How are you?
Good.
So living in the Bay Area, we always have earthquake, you know, our mind here and there. The biggest number of people who died in earthquake in history were over 1 million, probably close to 1.5 million people died in that single instant earthquake. Do you know what it is? What year?
What year?
Was it in China?
The one in China did about there was one in China did about 250,000. One did about 70,000, but that one did close to 1.5 million.
There was one in India that really had a huge.
Where?
In India.
India? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, still they were in the 50,000 or so. I'll give you the year.
It was more than
50,000. 01 A.D. Huh. About 1,200 years ago.
So 1201 A.D.
Right.
Was it in the Mediterranean by any chance?
Yes.
So was that the one where the rest of the Colossus of Rhodes collapsed?
Herculaneum?
In there? No, it's after that. Or the lighthouse at Alexandria.
The lighthouse at Alexandria
collapsed.
Exactly. Yeah. So what do you think happened?
Egypt.
Well,
Egypt it is.
Yeah, Egypt.
Egypt it is. Unbelievable.
Right.
1.5 million people, and just imagine what population was there.
Right.
Okay, second very quick question, then let you go. Who is Donna Douglas?
She was an actress in
Kirk Douglas.
No.
Donna Douglas.
Well, she might be named.
Was an actress in the Beverly
Hillbillies.
Yeah.
Played Ellie May.
Is she still living?
No.
I
thought she was, but then I think she passed away recently.
All right.
She passed away on January 21st, 2015. So over years ago. Who's the only survival person in Beverly Hillbillies? The only one now.
Max Baer Jr.
Yes, and he's what was his name in the series?
Jethro.
Jethro it is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Well, he's got a lot of breath, you know. I never would have thought of him as a Beverly Hillbillies fan.
Yeah, from earthquakes in ancient in Egypt to the Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to join us, we have a couple of lines open right now. Area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah. This is David from Oakland.
Hi, David.
Hi, I think I have a couple of answers, though about four of them that I had earlier would have been sniped.
But, sorry.
Let's see, no problem. Is the actor from Purple Rose of Cairo, is that Danny Glover?
No, it's not.
Oh, because you said Witness, too.
Yeah,
he was in that.
I was trying to think of who from Witness.
Right, it's a good guess.
Would have made it. Right. Okay, and then for Danny, your question, the supporting actress, is it Catherine Zeta-Jones?
It is Catherine Zeta-Jones for Chicago.
I said Catherine Zeta-Jones.
No, but you said for a different
because
show.
Because I had it in mind because there are similarities to this.
All right. Yes.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, if you did that, I figured a Rita Moreno West Side Story.
Right.
But I wasn't sure which one. And then I have a question for you along the lines of one that you pulled about Henny Youngman giving up the setup to some of his jokes.
Oh, right.
Wonderful.
Right.
Okay, so I have a couple of Rodney Dangerfield jokes.
Okay.
And the setup and
take my wife,
allow
please.
Me the indulgence of doing my barely passable Ronnie Dangerfield impersonation.
All right, why not?
Okay, so my wife and I were happy for 20 years. punchline.
But we've been married for 40 or 30 or something like that.
No, it was like then we got married, something like that.
Yeah, that's better. My wife and I were happy for 20 years.
And then we...
Yes.
And that was before we met or something like that.
Then we met.
Then we met. Yeah,
I was
right.
on the right
okay.
track.
All right.
Okay, and the second one, the second and last one, when I was a kid, I told my mom I'm going to run away from home.
She said,
she packed my bags.
Suitcase.
Yeah.
She said, on your mark?
On your what?
On your mark.
Yeah. Okay. Good. There you go. Great show as always.
Thank you very much. Good
Not
job.
I love those.
And let's see. Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. I have a two-part question. Both about local actresses with TV connections. This actress caused a stir among her Hillsborough neighbors when she made a commercial for Coit Carpet Cleaners. Who was she? Second one, this locally set sitcom was about a widow who commuted from her home in Mill Valley to her job in San Francisco as a magazine editor. Who are the two women?
Well, the second one, I think, is Doris Day.
Yeah, right.
By some weird coincidence, I was actually reading on Wikipedia about Doris Day today and how much she didn't want to do that TV show.
Yeah, her husband pushed her into it.
Well, her husband died and had signed a contract without telling her.
Yeah, right,
He was her manager.
Evil Marty Melcher.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And what was the first one again, Jim?
Yeah, the actress caused a stir among her Hillsborough neighbors when she made a commercial for Coit Carpet Cleaners.
That was Catherine Crosby, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have another question?
I sure do.
All right, go ahead.
After the Beta Breakers, what is San Francisco's second oldest marathon race?
Oh,
it's the one that goes like along the coast.
I don't know where it goes.
Yeah, it's
it was begun in 1919.
So the race actually takes place in San Francisco. In other words, it's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Somewhere. It began in 1919.
Okay.
I never heard of it.
I don't know.
But is it only San Francisco, or does it go further than San Francisco?
I don't know where it goes.
All right. Okay. Would you read that once more, please?
After the Beta Breakers, what is San Francisco's second oldest marathon race?
Okay.
Does it have the word coast in it? Like there's some sort of...
No,
coast.
No.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter England Park.
Hey, Peter.
Is Sargent's Madame X in the Tate?
Madame X is not in the Tate.
Okay. It seems to me that Munch's Scream is in a museum in Oslo, but I don't know the name of it.
Well, I'll give it to you. It's the National Gallery of Norway.
Yeah.
There you go.
Great. And I have a question.
Uh-huh.
In Richard Henry Dana's book, 2 Years Before the Mast, mm-hmm. in which he describes a visit to the Bay Area in the 1830s, he warns of a danger to travelers going between the village of Yerba Buena, which was the tiny little village around Portsmouth Square, and the Mission Dolores. What was that danger in the woods?
Could it have been wolves or bears?
Bears.
Bears.
There's a reason that they're on our state flag.
Grizzly bears, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
All right, thanks, guys.
Crazy bears on Mission Street, huh?
Yeah. Seem to be reintroduced.
Bears are all south of Market now. And let's see, Pauline, your turn.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a couple of questions. This quick question. This line from a film is from, name the film it's from. So, you don't need to give me your right arm. Just give me your right address.
Good line.
It's a great line.
Once more.
What film is this line from? You don't need to give me your right arm. Just give me your right address.
It just sounds like a comedy.
It's a film I'm sure you've seen, for sure. I would think both of you.
Is it a comedy?
I'm not going to give more, because it's a really well-known line. So,
can you give us a time frame? Contemporary, classic?
Not contemporary. Like not recent.
I love that line.
It's a great line. And I'm going to...
It's said by the famous person.
Is the star the one that said that? Says it?
One of the stars.
Okay.
Right. To another star.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask another quick question. The city of Hawthorne in California honored this actor by naming their shortest street after him. Name the street and the actor.
There's a reason for that.
There's
obviously
a reason. Mm-hmm.
Because this person is very short.
Yes.
from Hawthorne. He grew up in Hawthorne?
He lived not far from there.
Billy Barty?
No, but you're in the right territory.
You mean
a little person?
Mm-hmm.
One of the little people, yeah.
Yes.
There aren't that many.
That are big in show business, yeah. That's yeah. I gotta think about that.
Johnny from Philip Morris.
walking through store windows everywhere.
Nobody remembers that.
Billy
Barty and the little guy on who's on a lot of sitcoms.
Was this person in the Wizard of Oz by any chance?
No.
No, you're
this
a little
is the guy. He's in a lot of sitcoms. I think he was in a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh no, that's Danny DeVito.
Oh, you're thinking of somebody else, I think.
Oh,
no, I'm sure you know this guy, Dana.
I probably do, but
he pops up all over the place.
I don't think it's the one you're thinking of. He was in sitcoms.
Okay.
A sitcom.
Three and a Half Men, is that the name of it? Was that?
No, Two and a Half Men.
Two and a Half Men?
No.
All right, let's think. We'll think about it. And let's go to a call. Yeah. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm going to try for the longest running actress, Maggie Smith.
Do you understand my question?
Because you were asking.
I've said it so many times, I'm not sure.
It's a little convoluted.
So,
Maggie Smith won for the prime Miss Jean Brody.
That's very good. And it's a straight play. I will tell you that the actress, the best actress one is from, it is from a straight play.
Uh-huh. I didn't know how long Maggie ran on.
Yeah, no, but it wasn't Maggie Smith.
Okay. I lose.
That's it.
All right.
Thanks, Thomas.
Was Maggie Smith on Broadway in Brody, or was that in London?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I know it wasn't in the list of longest-running Broadway plays, though.
No.
I mean, in the 100
longest-running
Broadway plays. Okay. I have one more Broadway question for you.
Wow.
Who is the first person to have two different Broadway theaters named after them?
Oh.
Two? Are they still there? No. They both can't be open now.
Yeah, no.
Is one of them open now?
I'm not going to say. It's a very famous person, or I wouldn't have asked the question.
Neil Simon?
That's a good guess, but no. Who's the first person to have two different Broadway theaters named after them?
Is this person still alive?
This person is not still alive.
Martin Beck.
No.
Oh, Belasco.
No.
Okay.
And
David Belasco. No. Billy Rose.
No. So again, who is the first person, and I think only person, to have two different Broadway theaters named after them? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, all right. What about Madame X, the Frick Museum?
No, it's not the Frick Museum.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That has to be the Metropolitan, then.
It is. It's the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Because I know I saw it in New York.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, there you go.
I used to know somebody who looked exactly like that, like Madame X.
Really?
Yeah.
And if you'd like to join us here, the number is area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll free 866-798-8255. This is Minds Over Matter. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
And Purple Rose of Cairo.
Yes.
Process of Elimination, that must be Lucas Haas.
No.
Oh, because you said Witness, too. So I figured, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean,
so there must be somebody else.
Danny Glover, yeah.
Who is the woman in Witness?
Kelly McGillis?
Yeah,
right.
Not her.
It's by a film by. Who's the director? I want to make sure.
A Witness?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Weir?
No. Oh, well, God. Maybe. Oh, Peter Weir.
Yeah, okay.
Peter Weir.
So Weir.
That's it.
I was right. Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, well, question then.
Yes.
What is the first recorded Beatles song where none of the Beatles plays an instrument?
Oh.
Well, Gareth would know that one. He's our Beatles man.
Is this a trick question in a way that...
Well, no.
Okay, so it's not done a cappella or anything like that. It's none of the Beatles plays an instrument. Oh, gosh, I don't. It's an interesting question, but
it's like Sergeant Pepper.
I have the slightest idea. Do you want to leave it out, or do you want to tell us?
I'll just tell you.
Okay.
Eleanor Rigby.
Oh.
Why?
Of instruments, but it's orchestral, and it's not the Beatles.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Good question.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We'll take as many calls as we can in the last 10 minutes. Let's go to a call right now. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, my gosh. It's Tom from Oakland again.
Hi, Tom.
You said you had lines open, so I figured why not. The SF oldest race, how about the Dipsy?
That's
very good guess.
But that's in Santa Cruz.
That's in Marin.
Oh, Marin? Okay.
No, that's a good guess, but that's not it. No.
All right.
This is in San Francisco.
Oh, shoot. And then, let's see, I was going to guess for... No, I can't remember. Oh, right arm, right address.
Oh, yes.
Call Northside 777.
No.
I like that guess, though.
Yes.
I had to think of something with an address. Okay, and then I just have one question. It'll be a quick one.
What
was Cloris Leachman's first role, first movie?
Movie role. Wow.
Oh, I know what it was. Last Picture Show.
No. Earlier.
She did TV in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So was the movie in the was the film in the 50s?
It was in the 50s. Yeah. Famous film noir.
Right. Oh, gosh. Can you give me any kind of other hint on it?
It was Mickey Spillane.
Oh, really? Kiss Me Deadly?
Kiss Me Deadly, that's right.
Oh, well, that's just the first Mickey Spillane movie that came to mind.
Yeah, she played the mental patient at the beginning.
Oh, good question. Thank you.
And then the MacGuffin in that movie.
It was some sort of nuclear fuel in a lead suitcase.
Right, but that was changed from the book because of the Hays Code. Do you know what the MacGuffin was in the book?
No, I don't.
It was heroin.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, interesting.
So they would rather have the nuclear, a small nuclear fuel in a lead-lined suitcase than heroin. Okay.
Okay, thanks a bunch.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Nick at Corona Heights.
Hi.
Hi, Jerry beat me to the punch on Madam X at the Metropolitan.
Right.
Great picture.
Great picture, yes.
The theater's double names, would it be Helen Hayes?
It is not Helen Hayes.
What about Brooks Atkinson?
Not Brooks Atkinson.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Megan from San Francisco.
Hi, Megan.
Hi. The four roles that started with Albie Grant, was that actor Matt Ross?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
What is it?
Matt Ross. And it actually ties into my first question.
Who is this?
Matt Ross.
Who's that?
Matt Ross?
That?
You're going to be hearing a lot about him very soon. You are. Seriously.
Yeah.
Okay.
You say so.
Yeah, all right.
So Albie Grant was in Big Love, and he's Gavin Belson is in Silicon Valley.
All right,
so
okay.
Too well known.
All right. Well, good job on that answering, because we certainly didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is the street name, is that Vern Troyer?
What's the name?
Vern Troyer of the...
Oh, no, though he
short,
is...
The
he,
short street.
He
yes,
does
he's
fit
very,
that,
very short, no doubt about that.
Yeah. No. This was an actor who was particularly known for one show he was in, the street got its name in the 80s, if that helps.
Mm. Okay,
oh.
Well, thank you.
Okay, was it the one who was on the show, the adopted black kid?
No.
Gary Coleman,
yeah.
No, different strokes.
Well, Mickey Rooney's not from Heather.
No.
Or what's that?
This is much shorter.
Much
than
shorter than Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney.
Okay.
Actually, makes Mickey Rooney look tall. By
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ruth in San Francisco.
Hi, Ruth.
Did you get all the theaters that were all the people that were honored by the lights going down on Broadway?
We did. I only asked for the first three, and the first three were Gertrude Lawrence, Oscar Hammerstein II, and Alfred Lunt.
Okay, what about George S. Kaufman?
Well, he died in the 60s, so no, he was. They didn't do that because okay. Because the last Alfred Lunt was in 77 and Gertrude Lawrence was in 52, so he wouldn't have been. No, he wouldn't have been there.
Okay, and a fun fact about Jack Furtick, he was the towel guy at the Jewish Community Center.
Yeah, he handed out towels.
Oh, there you go.
JCC, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Very good little trivia. But,
yeah. And next call.
Hi.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
Somebody answered the Munch, right?
Yes.
And did anybody answer Klimt?
No.
I believe I saw it at the Louisiana Museum.
No. Unless there's more than one. Sometimes there is more than one version of these paintings, but it's not. I was only aware of one, so, but no.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And let's see. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. Scott from downtown.
Hi, Scott.
And the two names on Broadway, is that Florence Ziegfeld?
It is. Oh, what a good guess. No.
Oh, rats.
No.
Well, that's all I've got. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was a good guess. Yeah.
All right. Let's clean up here. Jerry, what do you got?
Okay. The second oldest marathon run in San Francisco after the Beta Breakers is called still, I guess it's still around, the Statuto, S-T-A-T-O-T-O, I'm not pronouncing it right, Statuto, sponsored by the San Francisco.
In the Purple Rose of Cairo is Viggo Mortensen, and the tie-in between Matt Ross and Viggo Mortensen is that Matt Ross is switching to the other side of the camera. He directed the movie Captain Fantastic opening this week with Viggo Mortensen in the lead role, and it won the Cannes and Certain Regard prize, and it's a film to see.
Matt Ross. I wouldn't have gotten that in a million years.
If he hasn't heard of him, nobody. Nobody's heard of him.
Okay, let's see here.
It's in the paper today. Read an article. He's been all over the
place. In the list of the longest-running Broadway shows, the film versions of which won Academy Awards for Best Actor, Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, the only one he had left was Judy Holliday in Born Yesterday. Mm. That was on the list of the longest-running Broadway shows. The paintings, nobody got. Gustav Klimt, Judith, that is at the Belvedere in Vienna. Rembrandt, Belshazzar's Feast, that's at National Gallery of London. Portrait of Paul Revere by Copley, that is at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. Let's see. And the one Jerry's waiting for, the first person to have two different Broadway theaters named after him, that would be Edwin Booth, the Booth Theater. There was an old
different
Booth Theater
times,
and a new.
Right.
Different times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. So if we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Also, we had a little note. Patience from San Francisco says the Father Knows Best character was Lauren Chapin. I guess you were talking about Woman Princess. And just to remind you, we'll be back next week. Thanks to our panel tonight, well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from from Berkeley, teacher and photographer Pauline Teichman. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Latulippe and Steve Wilkoff for handling board and phones. And, of course, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call and have a great week. Please join us next Sunday. Bye-bye.
Dana, one other introduction. The famous song from Three Guys Naked from the Waist Down was the worst. I'm an angry guy on a lovely day. So that's that further answer.
You ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry,